Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. This is the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk, where this week we're thinking about rock.
Primordial is a rock and metal entertainment service
that is here to serve the rock and metal community.
With a radio station, podcasts, videos, merchandise, and live events.
It is the evolution of radio. It's Tinder meets Spotify meets radio.
I'm not in the mood for this song right now.
The system will then deliver more of what you like and less of what you don't like.
The technology, as far as I'm aware, nobody is doing it in the manner in which we are going to do it.
Primordial is the latest project from Hugh Evans, the man they call Moose, and many of his chums from Team Rock. Now, you'll remember that Team Rock went into administration just before Christmas last year, making 73 people redundant across its multi-platform business. Having spent more than £10 million buying some magazine titles from Future Publishing, Team Rock then sold them back to Future for a mere £800,000. Nice work for Future. What's happened to the £20 million quid or so investment, including a substantial sum from the Scottish Government? Well, we can only guess. But undaunted, Moose is back with a crowd-funded project called Primordial, which, as you'll hear, is quite a similar idea. Moose is in, as it were, the hoose after this.
Primordial Radio. Yes, it's about the music. That's the main reason we all got into this and why we love it so much.
But even more than the music, I love the community.
It's about the people that are into the music, about the people you listen to the music with.
And when you combine the music and the community, you get Primordial Radio.
You've told us you want personality, you want control. You want choice. You want something you can call your own. Well, we're giving it to you. Now, it's up to you.
So, Moose, there it is. Primordial, Evolve. Is it a radio station? Is it a website? Is it a streaming service? What is Primordial?
Well, it's all of the above, Trevor. And I think any radio station would fit into that category now. It's not just the old days of a linear service coming through your wireless. It is on many levels. So, you know, it could be video. It could be the written words. It could be listening to music. It could be interaction. It's definitely a social feed. Radio was social media before social media existed. That's kind of the idea, really. But bizarrely, taking radio into the social media space.
Do you think there's something special about the rock community?
I think perhaps in the way it's treated, yes. There was a piece of research conducted. If you read our bid, I refer to it, that the classical music fan has the identical profile as a heavy metal music fan. Yet, as I'm sure you know, Classic FM will have premium brands promoting or advertising their wares, whereas metal, that's stuff of the devil, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think there is a uniqueness simply not in the type of people they are, but in the way they've been treated. And it's not like people haven't tried before. And I know we're having a go at, big media groups and their efforts over the past. But the way the model works is that the advertising simply is not there because advertisers go straight to that stereotype. That's, metal fans, even if they are metal fans themselves, I wouldn't want to advertise my brand on that. And honestly, for the past 8 years in the UK, I have been fighting this, to try and convince people that this audience is actually worth it. So we kind of decided to turn it on its head and say, okay, then let's not go to the advertising agencies. Let's not do the traditional model and let's turn it over to the audience that has largely been ignored. That's the thing that the metal community identifies with so much. When you're in it, you see that we're just normal people. Honestly, Trevor, you know me and you've seen me. Would you peg me as a metalhead?
I would
probably
peg
not.
You as seriously abnormal, Moose.
Well, many people would, but your first conclusion probably wouldn't be metal.
But let's just stop for a minute on the subject of the music and talk about what we mean by metal or rock. I mean, rock can mean everything between Fleetwood Mac and, satanic surf punk. When you describe the music of Primordial to your potential listeners, what do you tell them you'll be playing?
Well, what they want. That's the goal. The goal is, okay, so we have a linear service right now, which we're just about to unleash. And that is traditional radio, where you get what we decide, and we'll give it to you when we decide. The goal is, because you are very, very on point there, because one of the difficulties within the rock community itself is getting people to decide and agree on what rock is. You know, oh, you play too soft, you're too old, you got a classic. Hey, man, what about the kids? And they're all arguing. And we all argue, because we all have our own unique interpretation of what rock is. So if we could get as many of the genres as we possibly could, put it all into a big melting pot, a soup pot, for argument's sake, and then people could pick out the ingredients. So if you had a service where you could control to an extent the music that surrounds your content and presenters, then you, Trevor, you could have your, whatever your definition of rock is, I could have mine, but we'd have that shared experience of you know, the beauty of radio, the shared experience.
So it's almost it sounds to me a bit as though you're saying, well, on the linear service, there's, as it were, the set menu, the set lunch, but then we've got this a la carte thing going on the side, where you can, you know, you can have all Atlanta Rhythm Section if you like, or you can have all Dead Kennedys if you like.
Yeah, that's the ambition. Now, we're not going to be there from day one, when we're not in a position to be that, but that's the plan, that's the goal, is to work towards that. But you know what the interesting thing will be? I'll bet you and I are old enough to remember the death of the in-car radio, because cassettes and CDs got into the car.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there's no way people are not going to be listening to radio anymore, because they'll be able to control their own music. I'll almost guarantee that over time, if you use Primordial and the app is intuitive and it learns your likes and dislikes, and so you're fed a steady stream of what you like, I'll bet if you went into the Primordial soup, the big mix, and if we get it right, if we mix it properly, you'll be more attracted to that than what you think you like, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so last time we talked, you were launching Team Rock, and I have to say you were saying some of the same things, and you know, you make a very persuasive case about this audience and how it could support itself and so on and so on and so on. Now, what went wrong with Team Rock, Moose?
It was do you remember the story of how Netflix went to Blockbuster and basically said, hey, Blockbuster, we should join forces? Do you know that story?
Yeah.
So Netflix went off and won, didn't they?
They did.
Now Netflix is dead, Blockbuster disappeared. In the Team Rock case, Blockbuster won.
Okay, so do you feel in any sense personally let down? Do you and your colleagues feel as though the system actually trashed your dream?
No, not at all. It certainly wasn't the system. Good Lord, because we weren't really, I mean, we were and we weren't. It was hugely ambitious. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe that was his downfall, was the speed at which it went. However, this, what you say, when I was saying the same thing when you and I last spoke at the launch of Team Rock, this is an idea that we have. This idea we're doing now at Primordial was an idea that we had in July of 2010. It was when we really talked about it, what we could do. And then we went to Team Rock thinking that that's what we were going to do. And we got there, and none of it happened the way that we expected it to happen. You know, other forces pulled it in other directions, and ultimately those forces pulled it apart. But this idea, this is what we talked about in the early days of Team Rock. And that's from the founding people. Like, this was the idea, but then somewhere along the line, it veered off course.
I want to ask you more about Primordial, but just before we leave Team Rock, did you all lose a lot of money?
I did. I certainly don't have much money, but, you know, I was an investor and I lost all of it. But, you know, I believed in it, and I tried to sway it as much as I could, as best as I could, and, you know, it didn't work.
So here we go with Primordial. You want £130,000 from...
Oh, we want more than that.
Yeah, well, that's what says on your site.
I mean, I'm serious. we've set our target at £130,000 because we think we can achieve that with enough time spare to then oversubscribe, because ideally, to do exactly what we want on the schedule that we want, we'd like to have about 220,000.
Okay, so I was going to ask you about this, because on the Cedars site there are five apparent members of staff. And I was thinking, 130 grand isn't going to keep you lot in whatever you need for very long, is it?
No, it's not. Well, and we don't know what this will be. This will be what this becomes will attenuate to its surroundings. It's not going to be something that people aren't going to support, if you know what I mean. Like we're not going to make the conclusion as to what exactly this is going to be and build it and then find out that nobody wants it, because that would be stupid, wouldn't it? And waste a lot of money. So
the investors are going to get a chance to influence the direction of travel.
Absolutely.
For the business. Yeah,
that's the whole point, Trevor. The whole point is the audience. It's not just the music. It's everything else that surrounds it. You know, if you go to a festival, they don't just have music. They have all sorts of things at a festival. You may want to eat. You may want to go to a sideshow. You may want to go buy some merchandise. You may want to go watch a film. Who knows? But all of these things are integrated into a festival. Music is the core, absolutely, but it's the life around it.
So give me an idea of the timescale, Moose. And you say you've got the linear service pretty well up and running. Have you all ready to go?
Yeah, we do. We have a stream and we're just honing it. We've had some difficulties there, but you know, you will be able to go to the linear stream in a couple of weeks. And then once we determine what we've done with this funding bid, then we'll be able to put a time scale to what we expect. Now, the immediate incarnation, the obvious one, is to provide different genres around the presenters. It's kind of like what Absolute does. So you could listen to Christian O'Connell, but you could be listening to Absolute Classic, you could be listening to Absolute, that kind of idea. But then the next step is to favor the music so that your app would then begin to... So if you want a timeline for that, I would say this time next year, we'd be into that iteration with a view by into year three, having the full all singing, all dancing, I can swipe and I can flick songs out and create my own.
And are you happy with the investment so far? I mean, according to your site, you've nearly got half of what you were initially asking for. That seems to me to be pretty good going.
It is. This is all new to me. The key to this is we don't want somebody with a big check to show up and go, hey, here you go. Here's £250,000. Go do it. What we need, and this is the whole idea, is we need a lot of small investors. We need a lot of people to buy one share. So if we had 1,500 people, 15,000 people that did that, then they have a vested interest in this. They have an emotional interest in it. And then they're most likely to become members down the track because it's theirs. And it's built on this. And I'm not, you know, there's the other thing about us. We will be utterly transparent in our motives. You know, we need members to go beyond the initial raise because if we don't have them, well, we have nothing. And we need the audience to be part of this.
Just one other thing about radio. I know what you're saying is that radio is only a component of this offer, but what do you think of, for instance, Planet Rock, which is clearly one of your competitors in the radio space?
It's very well defined, a very well defined service, and it is very linear in its behavior. You know, you'll get what you're given. And that's how they're set up. They're set up like a traditional radio station. And they've gone for probably the biggest audience if you're going to talk about rock, classic rock. And they're right to do so because they need to sell ads. And, you know, they're part of the big Bauer spend, aren't they? But they struggled on their own. They were hemorrhaging cash. You know, and they too know full well how difficult this challenge is. So they went after a big market. If you're going to niche down, so to speak, and become quite focused, let's say we wanted to be Austrian death metal, for argument's sake, you know, then your chances of finding an audience to support that become increasingly more difficult. So Planet Rock, yes, you're right in terms of a traditional competitor, but where we're going, somewhere in the middle between Spotify and Planet Rock and what Team Rock was, that's kind of where the territory we are in.
Well, everybody listening to this, I'm sure, wishes you well. I think it's really exciting that radio, which was so often written off as being yesterday's medium and a heritage thing, is throwing up all these new ideas like yours and, you know, Upload Radio. And there's various other little projects kind of creeping in and getting the audience to support you. It feels like this is the way that we're going to start to travel. Do you feel a sort of sense of
I know
pioneering spirit?
No, I don't. I think all we're doing is just we're delivering it on a new platform, which gives us freedom that we never had before. But the basic principle of the intimacy and the one-to-one relationship that radio provides will never go away. It won't go away because radio has that distinct advantage because when I'm listening to the radio, it's a one-to-one. It's me and the presenter, whoever it is. And that, when we went back, you said, you know, everybody's fiercely independent, but they don't want to be alone. Trevor, you don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. And that's why radio works. Radio is unique in that component. It's very much like social media. It is social media before social media existed. So let's go into that space and run it properly. Because up to this point, please don't take this with a, like I'm being highly disrespectful. But it has been a lot of people volunteering their time because they haven't been able to, you know, to commercialize it, so to speak. So it maybe hasn't been up to the standard of well-funded commercial stations on, you know, on analog signals. Somebody at some point in time is going to go to that digital space, do a professional job of it, and when they win, they will win. Oh, and we would like to go and own the rock and metal area of that.
That's Hugh Evans, Moose, the CEO of Primordial. And if you do fancy a punt, go to primordialradio.com or search for them on the Cedars crowdfunding site. This is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dann. Here's Stuart Clarkson with the latest news.
Thank you, Trevor. Jack is here. It launched on DAB in Oxfordshire this week with the station saying it'll be chilling when we want. First song played was by The Carpenters. Four new community radio licences have been awarded by Ofcom to groups in London this week. Flex FM will be aimed at 15 to 30-year-old dance music fans in Merton, Wandsworth, Sutton and Kingston-upon-Thames. Radio Minhaj is for the BME community in Newham. Nomad Radio will target the Somali population in Hammersmith and Fulham. And Maritime Radio will serve the local community in Greenwich. 15 other applications to run stations inside the M25 area have been considered but rejected by the regulator. Richard Bacon is returning to commercial radio to present a two-part series for Absolute Radio about the 50th anniversary of the Sgt. Pepper album. The programmes are being made by Indie TBI Media. Richard's been heard on Radio 2 since leaving 5 Live in 2014. He'd previously been at stations including Capital and XFM. An online pop-up station's been set up to mark 10 years since the closure of digital service Capital Disney. Radio Rebooted is the idea of former Capital Disney programmer Will Chambers and imaging producer James Beckingham. It's promising the energy and humour that the old station had and is online for a week from the 28th of May till the 4th of June. And Graham Norton is the latest big name to be added to the lineup for next week's Radio Festival in London. He'll interview Nicholas Parsons on stage about his 70 years in radio and 50 years of Just a Minute. Others appearing at the event at the British Library include Vernon Kay, Greg James, Chris Tarrant, Sean Keaveney and Colin Murray. We'll see you there if you're going. If you're not, follow the coverage on radiotodaylive.com or via the Radio Today social media feeds.
Thank you, Stu. And if you're at the festival, yes, do come and say hello. David Lloyd after this.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moments, David Lloyd.
Saying farewell from your radio station after quite a few years on air is always a sad moment. This week last year, Russ Williams walked out of One Golden Square for the last time after 23 years on air.
And they're both very happy today because Arsenal have finished second in the Premier League. Not the greatest end to my career on rock and roll football. But hey, you've got to take it on the chin. It's been a crazy season. It's been an absolute privilege to be with you, not only the last 6 years, but 23 and a bit years. Thank you for putting up with me. I will miss you. It goes without saying. I miss this building. I miss the team. But we might have a beer in a couple of weeks. On the way.
Russ Williams, who'd been on air with Absolute Radio and Virgin before that from One Golden Square, from the launch days of Virgin in 93, not many people say at any station for over 20 years. Russ tells that the launch day had been tinged with sadness because he just lost his dad, so his dad never heard him quite make national radio. When the history of commercial radio is written, and I'm onto it now, one key moment which changed its fortunes was the creation of the UK Radio Advertising Bureau. And here was a body which was focused on giving the advertising agencies real reasons to look at making the most of the radio medium. Douglas MacArthur was the architect, and he was strong enough to make sure that stations did their bit to make the proposition simple and clear.
The 80s were an audience success for commercial radio. The audience, the number of hours to sell doubled. The share of ad revenue was static at 2%. Now that's called a disaster. And I think, not to be particularly critical of people, there was lots of selling going on in radio, but no marketing. And I mean, I'll tell you one example. So before starting the RAB, I interviewed lots of people in ad agencies. And I asked them what they thought the weekly audience was for commercial radio. Now the answer then was 23 million. The average answer of all these really professional senior people in media agencies and ad agencies, the average was 12.
Douglas MacArthur speaking on the formation of the RAB 25 years ago this week. Anger on the radio is always fun to listen to. And this week in 1989, Jim Nocte's guest on The World at One was Neil Kinnock.
What is your estimate of how quickly that kind of action could produce results, and what would those results be? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, look, Jim.
Yeah?
They're making a god-awful mess of the economy.
Yeah.
They're about to slaughter it. I'm not going to sit on this programme and have a bloody WEA lecture on what the Labour alternatives might be in 3 years' time. For Christ's sake, we're the opposition. They're the government. They've cocked it up totally. Well, I am not going to sit here and be bloody quizzed on the alternatives. He's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. He's buggered it up totally. Blown away £100 billion worth of oil revenues.
Well,
none of that's our fault, and we've been coming on programme after programme after programme for years telling them not to do it.
Well,
for Christ's sake.
But you could say that. I mean, it was sort of inviting you to say that.
I've just bloody said it, and you asked for the fourth time, so what would you do? Come on, Jim.
Well, I mean, I'm
look,
flabbergasted,
to be honest.
They're
smashing up our country. Right?
And yeah, the pair have had a good laugh about that interview since. The World at One on Radio 4 with Jim Nocte and Neil Kinnock 28 years ago. Staying with interviews that don't go entirely to plan, this week, 7 years ago, Russell Crowe walked out of Radio 4's interview with Mark Lawson.
The accent you've given him, there are hints to me of Irish, but what were you thinking of in those terms?
You've got dead ears, mate. You've seriously got dead ears if you think that's an Irish accent.
Hints of, I thought. But,
bollocks. You know, the reality break for him is that he has been estranged, in our version, estranged from his family for a long time. He has, you know, marched from...
And finally, you can either answer this or not. I'll just give you the chance because it's out there at the moment. As you know, that the suggestion you didn't want to say the famous line in Gladiator in this book that has come out.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't get the Irish thing, bro.
The Front Row programme this week in 2010. Goodbye, Russell Crowe. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Radio 4 broadcast the Dawn Chorus live in what's being dubbed a concept of slow radio, where we just let things happen in real time. No Idea is a new idea, though, and 93 years ago this week, the BBC aired Beatrice Harrison playing Delius's Cello Concerto. Beatrice had noticed that the Nightingales came out and joined in when she played her cello in her Surrey garden, so she persuaded the BBC to wire up an outside broadcast to find out. And so it was that just before midnight, in a long evening gown, she broadcast the occasion live.
As a wildlife sound recordist, the phrasing and perspective of this nightingale has always intrigued me. Although when I've been out recording nightingales in the twilight, it's surprising just how close one can approach these birds without interrupting their flow of song.
And that cello and nightingale broadcast continued for 12 years until one was interrupted by the sound of bombers overhead. And they stopped the outside broadcast just in case it could lead the bombers to their targets. Now, in the days before too many rebrands, when you brought stations together to network with different names, you had to decide whether you were going to identify any of them in joint programmes, or all of them, or invent a new name for them.
Your Pure Radio Network, weather!
Brought to you this hour in association with Abroad, your newest computerised travel agent.
Remaining dry at first, but a little rain will spread into the region overnight on a northwesterly wind. Overnight, temperatures will fall to around 7 degrees Celsius, that's a 45 degrees Fahrenheit scale. And the outlook for tomorrow, Tuesday, of course, cloudy with rain at first, but becoming drier with some sunshine later on. Well, it's here. Yorkshire Radio Network. Culmination of Radio Hallam in Sheffield, Pennine Radio in Bradford, and Viking Radio in Hull. My name's Tim Finlay. Sitting down thinking, how are we going to start a brand new station and a brand new show off? Well, I thought we'll dedicate this one to the engineers who made it all possible, the management who are sitting quietly drinking.
The launch of the Yorkshire Radio Network, an early example of networking in those days of carts and vinyl. That was this week, 30 years ago. And I'm quite liking the thought of this computerised travel agent. Here's a dramatic radio moment. It's 1971 this week, and the RNI pirate radio ship has been firebombed.
This is the Mebo 2. This is the Mebo 2 on fire. This is the Mebo 2 on fire. SOS, Mayday, 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 SOS. This is an SOS call from Radio North Sea International. Once again, we have trouble. Somebody's bombed us this time. 4 miles from the coast of Scheveningen, the radio ship Mebo 2 is on fire. We need help immediately. We need help immediately.
You wouldn't forget that in a hurry, would you? The famous bombing of the very popular Radio North Sea International this week in 1971. So with Plymouth Sound, now Heart, launching 42 years ago...
Here is a little of the sound that you'll be hearing on Plymouth Sound, your ILR station.
Marjorie Anderson leaving Woman's Hour, replaced by Sue McGregor 44 years ago.
I must confess, I missed the red coats and black bearskins of pre-war days because, of course, the guard was in khaki.
And the legendary Radio 1 Mallory Park Fun Day 42 years ago.
And the girls are actually swimming across the river to try and get at their idols.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
David Lloyd, Stu Clarkson and Moose get the thanks this week. It's been a TDC production as ever, and next week we'll be at the Radio Festival in its new springtime slot. See you then. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.